reading to you from the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and with the 37th verse. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets, and stone those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, my friends, we are still snowed in. Yes, we are. We've been snowed in for over a week. And boy, you know what? You ever heard that expression, cabin fever? I'm fixing to get it. Oh my stars, I'd like to get out. The sunshine yesterday, of course, it didn't melt, but we was, you know, in Colorado, we have as much sunshine as they do any place in America. That's the truth. Hey, listen, I'll be with you for an hour, half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee or maybe a hot chocolate. That sounds good. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 24th chapter of Matthew, and let's begin reading with the first verse. And Jesus came out from the temple, and he was going away, when his disciples came up to a point out of the temple buildings to him. And he answered and said to them, Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, for that is not yet the end. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But in all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Well, dear friends, we had some curious disciples. We've named this How Near Closing Time. And they said, What shall be the signs of thy coming? Well, many people have repeated this question through the centuries, and so have we in our generation. Jesus answering the question of the ages. This chapter give signs of Christ's return. Do they describe conditions in our time today? Well, I hope to say. Listen to verse 6 and 7. and you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, that it is not yet the end. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Well, today we have weapons of immense power to maim and to kill. Friends, remember when we dropped the atomic bomb in Nagasaki. My ship took a load of Marines after they signed the treaty. We took a load of Marines to Nagasaki to take over that town. Friends, if you've ever seen what that atomic bomb will do, you won't want to see it happen anybody, to any nation, anywhere. It was awful. The city was flattened, not a standing building. Oh, it was terrible. And now we have Iran. They're playing with bombs. And we have North Korea. They're playing with bombs. And those two leaders are insane. Absolutely insane. Now, this one in Iran said Israel should not even be allowed to be a nation. They should be wiped off the face of the earth. Can you believe that? Man, listen, don't mess with Israel. Read the Bible. Don't mess with Israel. That's God's chosen people. Don't do it. Oh, I know they've done wrong for the Lord, but they're going to come back. You wait and see. Weapons that reach across continents in minutes. I saw a documentary the other day, of course, being an old Navy man. Anything's got Navy, I get excited about. I like to watch. And this nuclear submarine that we have, my stars in the morning. I'm telling you, friends, they can bring six of those missiles out and they can go right to the target they send them to. We have smart bombs. It's terrible. Oh, why couldn't all nations? Well, we can't get along. Muslims will never get along with the Christians. Now, you know that. Israel and Palestine will never, ever get their act together. There's always going to be fighting and killing and maiming. It breaks my heart, but more than that, it breaks God's heart. Paul adds the peace dimension to this prophecy. See, peace seems to be almost within our grasp. The passion of peace in the Middle East. Listen to me. Success for lasting peace seems promising, but I want you to know, then sudden destruction. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Friends, listen. The only thing left in the prophecy from the Old Testament is the coming of Jesus. Everything that they prophesied about Jesus being born in a horse barn and being crucified, being buried for 3 days, he arose. All those things have happened. Now what we're waiting for is the second coming of Christ. Beloved, so many people think that if they're a member of a church, that when Jesus comes, he will catch them up. Oh, beloved, that's not true. You must be born again. Your sins must be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb if you want to go to heaven. See, everybody is religious some way or another. And you know, when we took our troops to Okinawa, and 3/4 of our Marines were killed that day. They were young men, 18, 19, 20 years old, strapping young men. I do pray that many of those young ones were saved. Our priest on our ship, he had a service with the Catholic boys, then they had a service with us Protestants, but I'll tell you one thing. Everybody went to those services. We prayed. We were frightened. Those Japs were throwing everything at us but the kitchen sink. We were afraid. Oh, but listen. Famines brought by floods and drought. Listen to what it says in verse 7. For a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Boy, don't you think we're not having earthquakes around? Those earthquakes bring on tsunamis? Well, I tell you, I've seen them. Storms that make medical treatment difficult, breeding places for multiplying bacteria, earthquakes increasingly, steadily, and becoming more violent. Oh, yes, they are. Hey, you know, I was doing a TV program in Portland a few years ago, and I was flying back to Denver. And that airplane I was in flew around Mount St. Helens. Boy, oh boy, it looked like a big old tooth that had rotted out. That was devastating. I was coming back from Alaska. My wife and I, many years ago, I was up there running a crew of men in Fairbanks. And we came back, and they had an earthquake in Canada that actually leveled a mountain, and it filled the lake, and there was no longer a lake left. Friends, listen. Whew, that's scary. Well, have you ever seen what an earthquake can do? I was there in Anchorage, and I saw what happened there. My wife and I and a preacher a friend of mine and his wife were in downtown Tokyo. And the new Otani Hotel, it's a Twin Tower Hotel. We were in that hotel, and we were down in the basement looking for things to buy. All of a sudden, there was a Japanese woman come on, and she's on the air, and she said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we are now experiencing an earthquake in downtown Tokyo. Do not be alarmed. This building is earthquake-proof." And I said, "Yeah, sure enough." And the Titanic was unsinkable. No, friends, earthquakes increasingly steadily and become more violent. Now listen to what it says in verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Well, listen. The sign of Israel, which is now a nation. See, this is all in prophecy. And it says in Luke 21:29, "And he told them a parable, behold the fig tree and the trees." See, European Union, the revived Roman Empire, and China's growing military capabilities. Friends, I don't know how many million people are in China, but it's a lot of people. They said they can march four in a row, and they'd never stop marching when they reached 21 years old. See, the Middle East is as a powder keg of the world. The Muslims say, "Get out. Get out of here." We got more Muslims here in England and the Philippines. And they're getting stronger, and nobody dares speak out against them. I do. They are a hate religion. That read the book of Quran, and you'll find out how they hate. They call us infidels. They want to kill all the Jews, God's chosen people. Friends, listen. It's about time that the Christian nation and Christians stand up and say, "Wait a minute, this we do not tolerate. If I had my way, we'd send all the Muslims back overseas." I mean that. Conditions to be like those in Noah's time. That's a sign of increased iniquity. People living for the pleasure of the moment. Oh my. Alcohol and drugs. Drug uses are rampant. You know, I see the very worst in prisons, state prisons and federal prisons. Yet, you know what? This wonderful Jesus I'm talking about, He will forgive them and save them if they will repent of their sins and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Violence is increasing everywhere. Friends, I doubt if there's a night that there's not four or five gunshot people getting shot here in Denver. And if you think it's bad here, you go to Washington, D.C. I was back there one time visiting, and I wanted to go to I was the director of the rescue mission in Youngstown, Ohio. And I wanted to go up and visit their rescue mission there in Washington, D.C. This cab driver said, he was hauling me up there, says, when are you planning on coming out, coming back town? Well, I said, I don't know. He said, listen, there'll be no cabs going in that area after 6 o'clock. Why? Because there's so much violence and so much killing. Well, did you know right here in our town, I do not know how many, I have no idea, how many men have been murdered as they sleep on the ground under the bridge or in a cardboard box or in a dumpster. Murdered, killed, for what reason? Sin. Well, conditions also to be like that in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, friends, whatever I see are homosexuals and lesbians walking up and down the streets saying, we are gay and we are proud, I'm thinking, Sodom and Gomorrah, here we come. That's what caused the God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of it was because of homosexuality. That's right. And then we're not supposed to say anything. Listen, I don't hate homosexuals, honest, and I don't hate lesbians. But I'm guaranteed, I'm warning them, the Bible said they'll not go to heaven, that they'll go straight to hell when they die. We have homosexual churches here in Colorado. You betcha. Preachers said, oh, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. That's the way we were made. No, it isn't the way. Do you think God made me an alcoholic? I don't think so. What did I do? I was the one that became an alcoholic. I'm sure sorry I did. But I'm so glad that God can take it and use it to help other people. When I go to prison, I tell my story. Those men, they've all experienced a lot of things I've experienced. And when I tell them there's hope that Christ changed my life, and here's what we say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become anew. The minute, the very moment that you ask Jesus to forgive your sins and ask him to come in your heart, you are changed. You remember Zacchaeus up at that old sycamore tree? He said, when did he get saved? Somewhere between the time he left the limb and he hit the ground. Little short fella, and he was as crooked as a snake. But boy, howdy, when his life was changed, when he come in contact with Jesus, he changed. He said, I'll give the money back to all the people I beat. And look at the jailer, Philippian jailer. He beat the tar out of Paul and Silas. And yet after Paul, when the door shook off the prison, and the old guard run in there to kill himself because he thought they'd all escape, Paul said, don't do yourself no harm. We're all sitting here. And he said, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How do I know that Philippian jailer was sincere? Because he took Paul and Silas to his own home, where they led his family to Christ. Yes, and even followed baptism in the middle of night. Why did they do that? Because it's an act of obedience. Oh, there's so many people confused about baptism. They think because they're sprinkled when they're a little child, that's baptism. It's not. You can use it for dedication, but it's not baptism scripturally. And we don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized because we have been saved. Was Jesus lost? No, but he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, sure enough. The other day there was a knock at my door. I was in there working on a tape, and my wife answered the door, and here two women. They're Jehovah's Witnesses, and they started their spiel, and my wife said, well, we don't need your stuff because we have the Savior. We've been born again. We really love Jesus. And you know, the Bible said, don't you wish them Godspeed and don't you invite them into your home. Don't you dare. Because they're wrong. Dead, dead wrong. Those people who are law keepers. There's no way that you can be justified before God by the law. It just can't, don't happen. Listen, do you see these signs on the rise today? I hope to say we can. And what are you doing to prepare for the closing time? Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, are you living daily in His will? Let me ask you, are you seizing opportunities to tell others of Him? Friends, I can't understand a person who calls himself a Christian. I can't understand them not wanting to tell somebody else about Jesus. It blows my mind. There's no place for secret discipleship in the Bible. There's no way. We're not supposed to hide our lamp under a bush. We're supposed to tell people what Jesus did for us. And friends, you know, I'm convinced now. It took me a long time, but I'm convinced the most powerful message that you can preach is when you tell someone else how you found Jesus. That's the greatest miracle you'll ever find on this earth, when Christ comes into a life and changes them, transforms them. Oh, dear friends, here's the beginning of a new year. Are you ready to put your trust in Jesus? Aren't you kind of tired of your wayward life, being a loser all the time? Why don't you come and join up with us? Join Jesus. Be born into the family of God. Here's how you do it. If you feel a little tugging at your old heart right now, I want you to bow your head. And I don't want you to pray it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Get on the phone and call me if you've done that. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on. You want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory share. With God, turn your radio on. Brother, listen in to the glory land chorus, listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on, turn your radio on. Get a little taste of joy awaiting, get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory share. Turn the lights down low. And listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on.
Well, dear friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you so much for listening. And precious friends, start to do year out, dedicating your life to telling others about Christ. Friends, he is coming back. Don't let no one fool you. Satan says, oh, he's not coming back. Well, every prophecy's been fulfilled but that. And he is coming back, and he's coming soon. And the thing is, if you're not saved and the rapture comes, you won't go. You'll go to hell. Boy, I'm telling you, friends. And I'm just begging you, come to Christ while you still have a time. And if you don't know how to be saved, call me at 303-471-8534. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.